We're, our witty banter is over now.
Okay, we'll go live. Chip, I need you to reset the camera, please. Again.
Sorry.
Oh,
the camera.
Okay, sorry.
The thing above the door.
You have an IT guy that can do that?
He's not tall enough. He's not tall enough.
Wait for that to reset. Okay, it is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Varga.
Here.
Romano.
Here.
Weigel.
Here.
Bachelman.
Here.
Adamson.
Reza.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on January 27th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion. All those in favor show up with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is public hearing for the vacation of the public way. So this is in regards, let me get there real quick. This is in regards to the property located on Whitley Street. So there is an ordinance that's in front of you as well, but we have the public hearing first. But before that, Mr. Trier, would you like to come up and just describe to the council what you're asking for, what you plan to do?
Okay. Do I need to say my name and all that?
Yeah, okay. Name and address, please.
Scott Trier, 4455 North Airport Road, Columbia City. Representing Trier Properties, we bought a piece of land and we, with the purpose of developing it, looking at possibly putting a duplex on it or something of that nature.
And the alleyway that goes through there would be property that you would use?
Correct.
With the building?
It would give us more flexibility on where to put a duplex or multiple duplexes.
Gotcha. Okay. Any questions? Thank you, sir. We will pause the city council meeting and open the floor for public hearing regarding the Trier property petition. Does anybody have an interest in speaking on that topic? Hearing no one, we will conclude the public hearing and reopen the city council meeting here. So can I have a motion to read ordinance number 2026-6 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-6 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-6, vacation of public way.
So again, this is the ordinance that vacates that alleyway for the property. Any questions, comments, concerns regarding the ordinance?
No, for public knowledge, sure. We did discuss this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all examined this area and thought it was an okay thing for him to proceed with his.
Now it goes nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. So we have looked at it prior to this meeting. We just don't say yes to it. We have had a conversation about it.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
I'm just excited to see that little section of the city get cleaned up. So mm-hmm. I'd like to thank you for taking that on, Mr. Trier.
It's a nice idea to see it used in some sort of productive way.
I agree.
That's fine.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-6 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brent, second by Tad. Further discussion. All those in favor show up with the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Okay? Great. And I don't think you have to be here for that if you don't want to. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is the public hearing for the municipal rate changes. because we have four rate changes that are going on, we're going to, if the council is okay with it, we'll do a public hearing with all, for all four. So we'll open the public hearing, and then I'll talk, and I'll, you know, give an opportunity for each of those four utilities rather than opening, closing, opening, closing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will pause the common council meeting, and we will open the public hearing on the utility rate changes. So the first one will be for the electric utility. Is there any public comment on the electric utility?
Just keep it turned on.
Okay. Then next up is the water utility. Is there any public comment regarding the water utility?
What's the increased amounts?
Yeah. So at the last council meeting, we discussed that. Let me get that for you real quick here, Mike. For water, the current water bill goes from $34.51 to $36.57, so it's $2.06 for 2026, and then goes up to $39.04 in 2027 and $41.66 in 2028. So in total, over those 3 years, it'll go up $7 and what's that? 15 cents.
So there's not a percentage attached to it? I mean,
well, so overall, what we had proposed to us by Baker Tilly was that that it would be an average of about 3.5% per year over all the city utilities. So electric is a 1%, but sewer is, let's see what percentage. I can give you that answer here in a second. Trying to find the page. So for water, it's again from the $2 and what did I say 6 cents. It's that's considered a 6%, and then 6.75 and 6.75 for that total of what did I say $7 and change for water. Yeah, for. For sewer, it's 4%, 6%, 7%. For stormwater, again, keep in mind, because this number is going to sound high, we're going from $10 to $13. That ends up being a 35% increase. It's $3, but because the rates being what it is, 35 and then 11 and 0. So it goes from $10 to 13. So $10 to 6 cents to $13 to 58 cents, then to $15 to 7 cents, and that's where it stays. So it doesn't increase in 2028. So overall, the 2026 increases for water, sewers, stormwater, and electric ends up averaging at 3.64%, and then 2027 is 3.54%, and then 2028 is 3.35%. Any other comments on water? You want to talk?
I got some more, but I don't know when you want to hear them.
Well, now is the public hearing, so if you want to come and talk, Mike, you'll have to come up to the microphone and give your name and address, please.
All right.
Name and address, please.
My name is Mike Deere. I live at 440 Deer Path out in Brennan's Addition. I guess I just want to know what's being done about the brown water coming all the time.
Sure. I'll let Mike show to answer that question.
We had a problem. We redone the filters and got a new media. And when the media, we were told we had to keep a chlorine level in the filters. And the level they said turned out to not be high enough. So that's what created the problems. It was seeding the filters. We didn't get the filters seeded right.
So are you having groundwater at your house, Mike?
Yeah, I had it this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you call?
what good's it going to do? Everybody else has been complaining all summer, so what's it going to do?
Nobody tells us. They don't call in. They put it on Facebook. They don't call in.
Yeah, you guys are answering on Facebook.
We'll flush the hydrant.
Your guys are at what?
Can I?
So if you call it,
I do get brown water that.
If you call it to the utility office,
it will be brown.
Yeah, I understand all that.
Call it to the utility office. We'll put a work order in. They'll go out and check.
And the filters will eventually run its course.
Flushing hydrants won't stir the system worse.
Okay. Wait. We have to make conversations. Hold on. I'm sorry. For public hearing, we got to have order here. So. Mike, go ahead. You go ahead and go with your concerns are.
I just want to make sure you guys pay attention to they're doing the best they should be doing and keep them, make sure all the income's coming in. It should be coming in,
sure.
And there's no money being wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another picture. It was taken last week. I assume this is a city meter. It's a fire hydrant meter. It's still on the fire hydrant. It's been there over 5 months. So I'm sure it's not being billed or anything. What water was left in it's been froze.
At 6
you know, that's not a cheap meter.
I don't know. Is that something the fire department put on?
No, it's probably put on for a contractor use. Could be a contractor's own meter.
Now it's 600?
I don't know.
City water out there.
Yeah. Well, I know it's city water out there. Yeah. I'm just saying I don't know why.
But I'm just saying if that's a city meter, that's terrible management for that meter to be out there in the wintertime.
I hear what you're saying.
And it's obvious it's not being billed, or the meter reader should have known it should have been unhooked.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I think there's places you could check to make sure there's not wasteful stuff taking place before you start raising increases just because it's an easy step. I think there needs to be some internal things looked. And I'm only speaking on the water. You know, I have no problem with anything else. I understand it all, but I do understand how the water works. So, internally,
most obvious you've done, Mike, because Mike, you got your license Mike, taken away.
Mike. Okay.
Don't go there.
No.
I'll go there if you want.
No. Gentlemen, please. Thank you.
You must have an issue to bother you to say something.
Okay. No, you're the one.
Mike,
I started it.
Just asking.
Okay. Anything else for water? Okay. Sewer. Is there anybody that would like to speak on sewer? Okay. And then I think stormwater's last. I think that's the last one, right?
Yeah.
That's the one I haven't done yet?
Yep.
Okay, stormwater. Anybody want to speak on stormwater? Okay. I'm sorry.
Did you get your question answered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, new here, didn't know I
no,
no, I don't. I do not have to answer that. We have to wait till the weather breaks. We don't have the cold weather. Then we're going to get out and flush the town completely. And then it should take care of the problem. Okay?
Okay, so we will close. We'll close the public hearing unless you have anything else you want to say. Okay, so we'll close the public hearing on the rate increases, and we'll reopen the city council meeting here. So with that, we have the ordinances in front of us. Do I have a motion to read ordinance 2026-2 by title only?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-2 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-2, City of Columbia City, Indiana. An ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Stormwater Utility.
Any questions, comments, concerns about the ordinance? Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-2 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance 2026-3. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Brent, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-3 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-3, City of Columbia City, Indiana. An ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Water Utility.
Any questions, comments, concerns regarding that? Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-3 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance 2026-4. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Jennifer, second by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-4 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-4, City of Columbia City, Indiana. An ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Sewer Utility.
Questions, comments, concerns? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-4 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Brent, second by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance 2026-5. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-5 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-5, City of Columbia City, Indiana, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Electric Utility.
Any questions, comments, concerns? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-5 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Tad, second by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Next up is ordinance 2026-7. Do I have a motion to read by title only? Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-7 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-7. An ordinance adopting formal rules of behavior for attendees at meetings.
So my understanding, I know some of you worked on this. This has been something that's been in the works for, I think, months now, at least.
Years now.
And so this is effectively, we have been counseled by the state and by cities and towns, if you will, that adopting more formal procedures instead of the kind of ad hoc as we go. Here's the rules for our meetings and things to that effect. We've been encouraged to pass a formal set of rules for the way we structure these meetings and all that kind of stuff. So, Jennifer, I don't know. I know you worked on this a little bit and stuff. I can put you on the spot here, but if you want to talk a little bit about that, or does any of the council members want to talk about the ordinance itself?
Really, it's something that, you know, we've always organized the meetings in such a way that they've been handled a certain way, but we needed to formalize that in terms of an ordinance so that it's across.
So it's in writing, effectively. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. So this really kind of governs the way that I, as the presiding officer, would handle the business and handle public input and handle all that kind of stuff, as well as, you know, kind of the respectful dialogue, timelines and electronic devices and all that kind of stuff.
Also helps when there's a lot that people want to say, and to kind of keep it succinct so that it's productive for everyone.
Yeah.
And I will say, because I helped Jennifer on this as well.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
We looked at multiple different ordinances by different municipalities to come up with this final piece. We kind of picked and choose what we felt was imperative.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're more and less restrictive.
Sure. And just so you know, Marcia is on the phone if you have questions of her, but she's not. She's under the weather tonight, but she's still here in spirit. So any questions regarding the ordinance or any discussion? On the council. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-7 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and do department reports, and then we'll open up the floor for public comment, because I know some of you probably are here wanting to do some public comments. So we will have that after department head reports. So, Mike, you want to start us?
Yeah, we're finishing up the inventory. Having a hard time getting it to load. A week ago we had a main break, and we did get a call from the emergency management saying they wanted the price of it, you know, but when I notified that it was not a main break caused by the weather, it was because when the valve was installed, probably 15, 20 years ago, they put limestone around it, which limestone is a base, which ate the bolts. So the top of it come apart. This is the fifth one we've had in the probably last 3 years. So I'm sure there's going to be more.
Question to the mic. Thank you. Chip.
Working on getting the BOP going for the amphitheater bill operate transfer. We started meetings, weekly meetings on that. Working to get appraisals and demo costs for the jail. Also, same with another property, possible contaminated property in the city, working on that one. Just I'll let Ted discuss about RDC, but we're having a conversation next week with Jerry Bushy about what to do, how to TIF his property, so a lot of stuff in the cooker right now.
Question to Chip. Thank you. Mike.
Do you remember I talked about a retreat? This is the final phase of the skate project. We've ordered new pumps for Irish Glen and Wooddale. Leak test on our dice store today, and everything is there, is in great shape, and I notified Spectrum Tech of that. Quoting new switchover valves for our flood heater. Nothing valve, the one is the original one, it's getting awfully stiff to operate, so we're looking at a new valve there in conjunction with an automated valve that can sense between methane and natural gas and switch it back and forth through our SCADA system. That's all I got.
Okay. Question the mic. Thank you. Matt.
Registration has started for baseball and softball in the office. That'll last until March 7th. We had a very successful father-daughter dance Friday and Saturday night, thanks to the volunteers that came and helped clean up and ran the cookie counters and the parfait and all the candy stuff. Little girls on sugar just running around everywhere. I received some more estimates on the dog park. I'll be taking those to park board meeting in a couple weeks. We got Cashew here going to CPO school, which is certified pool operator, so that he's able to help out Tom with the pool this next summer. And other than that, we're just getting things ordered and ready for spring.
Questions a minute? Thank you. Terry.
Installed a new copier at Eagle Park office. Got that set up for the users there and built a couple machines for the new for the pool. They're doing some restructuring out there in some offices. I met with SOS at the jail today, and we should have the door controllers and cameras on our system by the end of the week.
Questions of Terry? Thank you. Gary.
Officer Jansen, Officer Bedwell, switched FTO, our field training officers, and also switched shifts. And they're progressing very well in that. Officers Garmin, Blocker, and Didion are in their sixth week at the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy and doing very well there. Officer, kudos to Officer Blocker. She was elected as a squad leader at the Academy, and it's been quite some time since we've had a squad leader from Homer City represent us down there. So kudos to her. Very proud of her and her efforts. This makes my heart kind of happy. All the tornado sirens are working. So, good job there.
That's been a long time coming.
So on Facebook the other day, stirred up a little bit. Everybody's wondering why the sirens are going off at 11 o'clock. They were doing the maintenance and testing them to make sure they were working. So, had several dispatchers go to critical incident crisis communication last week. Received feedback from that. Had a little bit mixed reviews, and sometimes you get that with trainings. Next week we're doing firearms training with the officers out at the state police range, and so other than that, day-to-day operations.
Questions of Gary. Thank you. Sean.
So the guys continued, for those that weren't here when we started this, I started this report 3 years ago. We have all of our pulls tested about every 5 years. In the last 2 years, we've done the entire inventory of our pulls. We have 288 that were rejected. Which means they just need changed out or repaired. So we've been working on that for nearly a year now, but we're down, I think we're down under 80 pulls probably left to do. But the guys are doing a great job. It's great training for our younger linemen, hands-on. I mean, so really, guys have done a great job on the project. Matt Maggers leading the project, when we're doing a great job organizing. The guys are doing a great job with the work safely. So I'm very proud of my crew and how professional they are. Safety is their number one concern at all times. So good for them. It hasn't always been that way. Been working on changing some job descriptions with a journeyman groundsman position slash a locating position, a utility locator. Kind of changing that job description up to take some of the stress off everybody sending people out to do locates all the time. Also, some of the responsibilities from some of my staff have changed a little bit since the job description was written, so we're just going to button those up a little bit. Scheduled our north substation testing for April 6th. It was approved about a month ago, so we'll be getting that tested. We did meet with engineers for the OCR project. What we're doing is we're going about halfway out on our rural feeder because we go all the way from basically behind Kroger. We have a line that feeds all the way to the top of Aetna, which is a long way, a lot of miles, and it's a radial feed, which means it only goes one direction, so I can't back feed. It also means if I get a squirrel at Aetna, the people at Cambridge Crossing see if their lights blink. So we're working on a recloser that would be halfway out on the system to absorb those so the people in town wouldn't see it. We can sectionalize better. It's got communication. I can do more engineering and things like that, but it's going to be a great project. So hopefully get that ordered. Lead time on those is between 36 and 86 weeks, so depending on which company I go with. And I did want to say just on the rate study, you know, we're talking about the electric only doing a 1% over the next 3 years. I did want to reference the IMPA, where we buy our power. You know, they had a rate increase that the customer will obviously see. And I was just looking over the last 3 years of rate increases, judging by the paperwork you guys have in front of you, where, you know, NIPSCO is doing 20-some percent, and AES in Indianapolis is doing 16.4 with another 20% probably coming. In 2024, IMPA raised their rates by 2.5%. In 25, they reduced their rates by 5%. And this year, they increased them by 2.77%. So over 3 years, their rates have gone up 0.26%. So they've done a great job down there. You know, obviously, I'm on a lot of boards for them, and I get to see the data. And what they've done well is we've invested in our own production of energy. We're not counting on buying off the market like a lot of people are. We didn't dive in head first on this green energy that hasn't proved to be very successful. We have some. We have one here in town. So just a shout out to IMPA for what they've done. And other than that, I'll be quiet.
Questions of Sean? Thank you. Tom?
Well, last meeting I reported to you we're going to take the breathing air compressor that we bought, I don't know how many years ago, that turned out to be 11, we'll just put it at that. And we're basically going to part it out, utilize some of its parts to upgrade our engine's breathing air compressor, cascade system. A guy by the name of Justin, he works for Justin Watkins. He works for Hoosier Fire. He's also a full-time firefighter with South Bend. He and I were talking about it. He felt horrible that we were going to take this thing and just basically part it out. It should have some street value, right? So he took it upon himself to hop on the internet and find, because he's our repair guy for it. He works for them doing repairs for these compressors. So he found a used computer for it, sent it off to Scott. Hoosier Fire backed it, bought it. They sent it off out of Flash. Long story short, he came up with a plan to kind of help us out with this whole mess. Get this one that we have up and running, has some street value on it. That should pay for everything plus that we need to do for 102's cascade system to bring it up to snuff. And still have a little bit of money left over. So I've been talking to Mayor and Leslie. I'm going to make sure both of them are kept in the loop because we're going to have to market this thing ourselves on this thing called the garage. It's where fire departments go to sell fire trucks and equipment and stuff. I'm going to keep them in the loop of where everything's at so that, because I've never sold anything like this as the fire department. So I just want to make sure everybody's aware of what's going on, what we're doing, and why, so that there's no hidden agenda here. So I do take my hat off to Justin for jumping in with us, doing the extra homework, and trying to save us a little money on this whole project. So my kudos to him.
I think I reported the 101 had some oil and coolant leaks. We're still waiting to get those in. Kelly needs to stop plowing snow and breaking the stuff. Hopefully the weather now will be conducive that we can get it in, and Adam can get those little weeps taken care of. Our stuff's not in danger of going and getting, you know, traumatic damage. It's just we'd like to get them taken care of so they're not dripping anymore. If you remember about a year ago, a little under, I reported that a company by the name of Convoy Technology had called us. They wanted to mount a camera on a backup camera and then another camera at the tip of the ladder and test it out, run a commercial, and use that for as a marketing thing. But they were going to, what they mounted to our vehicle, they would give us. It'd be free. We finally got everything up and running well enough, and the weather has broke. We got that camera up and going. Here in the near future, when the weather kind of works out for us, we will be helping them shoot that commercial, just to keep you posted on that. February 17th is our live burn day. Through the winter, I take my hat off to Kyle Francis. He really did a lot of certified classes over here for all the full-time guys. They were advertised throughout the state. Anybody that wanted to come could come to them. The big one was fire instructor two, which you have to have that to be the head honcho to teach, or to have to do an academy for firefighter one and two. Also for live fire evolutions. So that will conclude on February 17th with live fire day. The school is sending up their academy class to come and help. So it's going to be a big day. And I think that's about it.
Question of the town. Very thorough report. Thanks for that, Tom. Kyla, introduce yourself. Talk about the youth council, please.
Hi, I'm Kyla Hockenmeyer. I'm part of the Columbia City Youth Council. And currently we've been talking quite a bit about going to schools. We were not able to have a meeting last month because of all the weather, but in December we went to Mary Raver Montessori and did a lot of Christmas activities with those kids, and that was very fun. And in the very beginning of April, we're planning on having a fundraising pickleball tournament. Our main proceeds will go to BABE, and we're working on getting sponsorships from different local businesses around town. That's our main focus right now.
Questions, Kyle? Thank you. Leslie.
I am joining Mayor tomorrow at the State House to meet with Representative Judy and the Department of Revenue on the food and beverage tax. So hopefully we can make some changes and get that fixed for other municipalities that put it in place. Less headaches for us, too. That's it.
Anything else? Marcia, you have anything?
No.
No. Okay. Marcia's under the weather, but like I said, joining us in spirit. A couple of things for your information. So tomorrow I'll be in Indianapolis. Actually, I'm down there for the Mayor's Commissioner's Caucus anyways, and then Leslie and Representative Judy set up this meeting, so it works out really well. We have next Monday is we're closed for presidents and observance of President's Day, and then next Wednesday I'll be down in Indy again because we have our AIM legislative dinner that night. We have a board of directors meeting before then, so there's a fair amount of travel right now, but that's kind of what's happening. I will not be at the next meeting because I'll be in Washington, D.C. for our with Sean for the Indiana Municipal Power Agency's fly-in. We speak with our representatives and senators about municipal power and specifically about making sure that some of those onerous federal policies don't trickle down to us. So it's always a time well spent. We do get a fair amount of work done out there, which is a good thing. So fly out Monday afternoon, fly back Wednesday evening. So it'd be a quick trip out. So, besides that, I think that's probably all I have right now. So, Dan, Jennifer.
There's actually a lot going on with the Arts Commission right now, but I did want to mention, to get it on the record, that we're planning a studio art, instead of a tour, a market this year, bringing everyone together in one location. We'll announce that at a later date, but the date for this is going to be September 12th, 2026. And it will be here in Columbia City. It will be open to all artists in the community that want to come out and and market and have their items available. Also, live music should be pretty great.
Great. Anything else?
No.
Thank you, Jennifer. Tad.
All right. We had redevelopment meeting today. And just some updates on some things. The old LML property, we are, as Chip would say, 99.2%.
Yeah.
We're waiting on one more soil
boring
uh-huh. recommendation. I don't know. We've been jumping through these fiery hoops for about 8 years on this.
Yeah,
but we're like
time.
That close to getting that turned loose so we can actually start marketing it. Getting appraisals for the Van Buren Washington Street site for maybe doing a project there. The former Wentley County Jail, we are getting, Chip is getting different quotes on having that site torn down possibly to see how much that will cost. What'd they say? One guy said didn't want to go past the floor because the floor
first floor is so well built they would like to stop at the first floor and see if the another company could build up from the first floor because it's that well constructed. And I'm like,
And just for clarity's sake, for the RFP, it's so that there's information in that RFP for that we've done some of the due diligence. Not that we're going to go and spend the
yes.
money on demoing
yeah.
the building.
So if someone wants to use that. Use that property for a project, they will know the costs that are involved in
yes.
if they want to keep it as is or if they want to demolish it and build it from scratch.
Yes.
And so we have all the options on the table. So, and then Smith Brothers, we're getting two different sets of appraisals for that property so then we can... You know,
And
demo and appraisals for those. So... and then also we voted to approve a TIF district for a apartment complex that could possibly be coming to town in the near future. So
great.
That's
it. Brent.
I have nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan.
As you guys know, we were contacted by Mr. Krause in reference to Chickens in the City. I had a conversation with him. I think he spoke with a couple other council people. Is he here? And essentially, I encourage him to come in and speak to the council if that's what he has a passion for. I think it's important that people are involved. And you can move the needle by being involved instead of just sitting behind the scenes.
Sure.
So I can't have where I live one way or another, so they're not going to my backyard.
Yeah.
I did do some checking. You know, there were some concerns. Homeowner associations supersede ordinance. So if the ordinance says you can have something and a homeowner association says you can't, you can't. If the ordinance says you cannot have something, a homeowner association cannot change that and make it broader,
you can.
Will. And then I also did some checking with, I know one of the concerns was, the police are going to be chasing chickens all the time, and that's factually inaccurate, at least from the cities that I've checked with. I've checked with two cities. Substantially larger than ours, who've had chickens, part of which I worked on for the last 6 years when I had chickens. And Jasper being one of them, Terre Haute being the other. When I spoke to the Jasper Police Department, they told me they've never taken a call involving chickens. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Maybe not. They're not the ones that get dispatched to it. But then I had Terre Haute run a log, and they've had 10 in the last 7 years. So, again, it's not so much that I care about the ordinance, so to speak. I just want people, if they believe in something, to come in, speak their mind, and get involved. So I think that's important. I mean, too many people don't do it nowadays. So I applaud you and everybody else for showing up. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. I applaud you for showing up and making your voice heard. So thank you for that.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Frank. Okay, we will open it up for public comment. Maximum of 5 minutes, preferably. You need to give your name and address, home address, on there before you start speaking. And just as a record, it is a public comment, not necessarily a question and answer time. You can ask questions. The council can choose whether or not to answer those questions. That's kind of the procedure throughout the state of Indiana. So with that, we'll open the floor. Is there any public comment? Come on up.
I'll piggyback off of that last. My name's Andrew Klaus. I live at 346 North Walnut. I don't do a lot of public speaking, so please don't make fun of me and don't laugh.
Just thank you guys for letting me be here. It's the first time I've ever taken any initiative in something like this. So I want to talk about backyard chickens. I know you guys have had this in the past, and I know it's your favorite topic, so here we are. I know you've heard pros, cons, this, that, what they can do, what they can't do, what people like, what people don't like. I'm not here to talk about that. You've already heard it a million times. I actually kind of developed a plan, a blueprint sort of like a registration process, tagging process, who or what entity would handle that, what would happen if you had to end up chasing chickens outside of police force or anything like that. I don't know if you want me to go through that with you all, or if you would like a copy to look at.
It's
or...
your 5 minutes, however you'd like.
Okay. So I got a registration system. You know, you would give the name of yourself, the owner, address, contact information. There would obviously have to be a limit. I know, like he said, he's check cities, I check cities. It's usually in the 4 to 6 range, some as high as 8, but it's usually never more than that. You would give the intended use for the chickens, and then you would have a signed compliance agreement document with the city stating what it's for, what you're doing, how many you have. You could submit the application online or in person. The city, you guys would obviously have to, you know, review zoning and ordinance compliance. With that, I feel like there obviously has to be regulations, fencing, fenced in coops, runs, things like that. Chickens can't go free roam, so like he said, we can eliminate them getting out if that were to happen. They'd be tagged with either a band, or if they want to go the extra mile, you can chip them. I mean, that's up to them. The tag number, owner, registration number, breed, hatch year if that's possible, health notes if applicable, anything like that would get entered into like an Excel spreadsheet of sorts into the system. The city would maintain a database containing the registered households, the number of chickens, tag numbers linked to the chicken and owner. There'd be inspections, a history of the inspections, violations, warning that went along with owner. The oversight, who would oversee it, could be public health department, code enforcement, animal control. There could be a role designated as a poultry program coordinator. It would they would process the registrations, issue tags, maintain the database, coordinate inspections, respond to complaints, ensure ordinance compliance. There would be an initial inspection upon registration, complaint-based, annual compliance checks to make sure that everything is up to code. You're not just throwing them in your backyard and putting a tarp over them and calling it good. Steps like for enforcement upon like complaints could be like, you know, an initial warning, fees incurring 2 to 3 times, and after that revoke the chickens and the license or registration of the owner. I know there's a lot of people that don't want it. There's also a lot of people that do want it. I don't feel like one vote outweighs the other. I feel like freedom is freedom, you know. If they want to have chickens, and people have to be responsible and respectable, and, you know, it's just like a dog. You got to clean up after your dog. You have to take care of your dog. It's just like a kid. If you can't have it, then you shouldn't have it. Then I have, like, a budget and staffing for you here. The philosophy that I wanted was self-funding, no money coming from the city. It would all be paid for through household permits, tags for the chickens, that sort of thing. I don't know if you guys see my Facebook post, but that was a really fun thing to look at. I don't know if you guys do a lot of social media. There's a lot of people that like it, and there's a lot of people that don't like it. But I just did like an average of like 200 households at $40 a household. That's $8,000. That's just for the registration now with the tagging and that. Say there's 1,000 chickens in total, that's $4,000, $12,000 that go into funding everything. I have multiple options for staffing and administration. Option A would be existing staff and a stipend. The duties assigned to an employee in animal control, code enforcement, or public health. This is all just a blueprint. I'm just trying to give you guys a general idea because I know that you guys have, like I said, heard all, here's this. Well, sure. What are we going to do for it?
Okay, so that's your 5 minutes.
Okay.
Does anybody have anything they want to say? Or,
thanks for laying it, giving us some more detail.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I didn't plan on 5 minutes.
I had a little more, but.
Would it make sense to provide this outline?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to provide an outline to the council, you certainly are. You're able to do that.
Do you want me to send a copy to you guys' emails? Or?
I know.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Any other public comment? Come on up. Name and address.
You already know who I am, right?
I know, but for the record.
Connie Lutz, Connie with a K, 602 West Columbia Parkway. No, I do not want chickens. I took an informal poll of my immediate neighbors, and I have 9 no's, 2 maybes with big butts. Well, with big restrictions. Sorry.
I know what you mean.
Okay, I'm a little nervous, you know that. I don't speak in public usually. It's on Facebook, okay? These chickens, I'm sorry, but I have been attacked by chickens in our neighborhood. Now, this has been quite some time ago. I was at the corner of Jeffrey and Azuba walking my dog, and I hear all these clucking noises. And the next thing I know, these chickens come running out at me, flopping their wings. Apparently, someone over on Holden Road had them, and they escaped. So I'm thinking if you want chickens, you move out in the country. And that's pretty much all I've got to say, except I did take a poll at the square the other Friday night, and I did talk to a realtor, and he said it could possibly reduce your property value. And I'm just wondering what's going to happen when we have all these stray chickens running around town. Who are you going to call? Gary? I bet he doesn't want his officers out there chasing chickens. It's bad enough they have to take care of the dog problem, right, Gary? The DNR? I don't know. I'll talk to my grandson and see how Levi Canock would like to be involved in this chicken situation in town. And I know he won't like it. I just wonder about all the chicken poop. Will that be going down the sewers? And I've heard that chickens damage gardens if they get loose. They're a general nuisance. They can be noisy. What about roosters? I'm retired. I don't want to get up, woke up by a rooster crowing in the morning. Now, I know some people on Facebook have said, oh, it would be such good for the kids, responsible. I said, go adopt a dog down at the shelter. Now, that to me is good responsibility for a child or a cat even. Oh, let's see. I just wonder, I've had several people that do raise chickens. They're my friends, but they live in the country. And they said this winter's been really hard. They have to go out and clean the coops out. They have to haul the food in there, make sure their water doesn't freeze. I wonder how many people in town's going to be that responsible. Frankly, I can't see it. And then I have one more issue. I was at the VFW Saturday, and of course we were discussing the chicken situation. And one of my friends said, Connie, do you know that you could get. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce this if I have time. Is my 5 minutes up?
51 seconds,
Connie. Okay. You can get ocular histoplasmosis from chickens. Now, this friend of mine apparently grew up on a farm, and it was his responsibility to go out in the chicken coop and clean all the poop up. And he breathed that in, and it went to his eyes. He has to go get shots every so often in his eyes. So I thought, well, I'll put that down as one of my cons. Let's see. Do I have any more time?
You have 13 seconds.
13 seconds! Oh, and don't forget the expense of setting this up. It's not going to be cheap. Some of my friends that raise chickens has told me that. And whatever you do, if you do get them and you live around me, you better have a privacy fence. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything from the council on that? Okay. Any other public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you. Yeah.